Oh, that was a blessing. Thank you, Tim and Daniel. That was good. Isn't it wonderful the different talents that the Lord has blessed us with? And it's certainly a wonderful thing when people put them to use. So thank you guys.
Mike.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Dan. I'd forget my head if it wasn't attached. Right. So, I have a question. Do I have liberty here this evening?
Amen.
I mean, right now,
Amen.
This evening, do I have liberty?
Right.
The answer is yes. I've been set free. The Lord has set me free from the bondage of sin, so yes, I have liberty. I live here in the United States. I'm free to come to church without persecution, so yes, I have liberty, praise God. But specifically, as far as you're concerned, do I have liberty? And more specifically, that means, does the Holy Spirit have liberty? If the Lord has called me here tonight to tell you how worthless and low down and good for nothing you are, is that acceptable? Are you going to get all puffed up about it? I mean, honestly, if you look out into the world, self-esteem and me and top shelf, you can't tell anybody anything. As soon as you step on anybody's toes, it's just, they turn it off. And you know, if just a question, if the message here tonight was the same one that Isaiah was given to give to the nation of Israel, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. If you were to ask me, I would say that message is sorely needed in the United States today.
Amen.
And if that were the message that the Lord has laid on my heart, would I have liberty as far as you are concerned to preach it? Would you be willing to hear it? Just a thought to consider. That's not the message that the Lord has laid on my heart, but you know, as that's free, as they say. But I wanted to ask you also, why are you here tonight? Are you here because Mom and Dad made you? Are you here out of duty? Are you here because Pastor would rake you over the coals if he knew you weren't here? And I was just thinking about that as I was preparing this message. As the preacher says so often, I want to go to church. And I look out and I see people that wanted to come to church as well. So thank you. That's an encouragement. But it is my earnest hope tonight that we've all come here to meet with God.
Amen.
And I really hope that you've come here from some help.
Amen.
I have. I have. I know I need it. And if I'm the only one, I'll just go ahead and preach to myself. And if anybody wants to, you can listen in. But turn with me, if you would, to the book of Psalms. And Psalms 88, I'd like to start with a verse here this evening. Psalm 88, and let us look at verse 14. The psalmist writes, "Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me?" Brother Caleb, would you pray for me, please? Do you ever feel that way, as the psalmist did here? Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? And let's look at another one, Psalm 13. And Psalm 13 here, written by David, I'd like to look at verses 1 and 2. David writes, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me?" And I don't know about you, it seems like David's been struggling with this for a little while, doesn't it? Because he says here, having sorrow in my heart daily. So it seems like this is an ongoing thing. And does it does it ever seem like to you that the Lord's kind of far off? Mm-hmm. That he's not really listening to you? That, dare I say, he might even be ignoring us? Right. And now for this application, I'd like to, we're going to specifically apply it to born-again believers. So if you're here this evening and you're not born again, the only thing I have to say to you is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. But for the child of God, why would God ignore one of his children? And, I was thinking about that again this week as I was preparing this message, that's one of the bad things about church and human nature. When we come to church, we are all the most spiritual version of ourselves. It's just how it is, and we all struggle with it. So, part of me is, looking out and thinking, well, I'm the only one that struggles with this. Nobody else, talks to the Lord, and it feels like he's not answering them or he's not listening to them. But why? Why would the Lord ignore one of his children? Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. And the first reason that the Lord might not be listening to us, he might not be answering us, Isaiah chapter 1, and I'll reread verse 4. "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward." Now we'll go down to verse 15. "And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." So the first answer is, if the Lord's not answering you, the first reason would be open and unconfessed sin. And, it's sad to say that I believe that's, a pretty big problem in the church today. There's a lot of people in America that are born again, but they're not living for the Lord. And they have themselves convinced that because they go to church or because they call themselves a Christian that everything's fine. I have a little example that goes along with that. I'm the youngest of five. All my other four siblings have 20/20 vision. It's a bit annoying. The only one that ever needed glasses. In fact, I needed glasses when I was seven. Always had glasses. But when I was a teenager, I went to the eye doctor's one time, and my eye doctor, Dr. Ruskowitz, an old Jew, he came up to me, and he said, "Daniel, you're getting to the age where we're going to have to start keeping an eye on the pressure in your eyes because there's a history of glaucoma in your family." And he told me a story of a professional baseball player by the name of Kirby Puckett. And he had a pretty high batting average. He was a pretty good baseball player in the National Baseball League. But he got up to bat one time, and a 90-mile-an-hour fastball hit him right in the face. He didn't duck. He didn't see it coming. And Dr. Ruskowitz told me that he's had patients like that. They'd come in, and it looked like they were looking through toilet paper rolls. Because glaucoma, the pressure in your eye raises so gradually, and it affects your peripheral vision, that you can be looking like that and don't even realize it. And he said he's had people come in, you know, wondering if they needed glasses because they started running into things, but it was because it's so gradual. And that's how it can be in our spiritual life, that if we aren't keeping, as they say, short accounts, that we can be like Samson, and the Lord can, you know, as it were, be gone from us, be not walking with it, and we don't even realize it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was the first reason. So if you're going through that in your spiritual walk, and it seems like the Lord's not close to you, and the Lord's not answering your prayers, that's the first thing that you need to consider. Is there something in your life, some sin, that you haven't confessed before the Lord that He wants you to get rid of? That's the first reason. The second reason, and the focus of our message tonight, is as born-again believers, God is our Father. And He deals with us as He sees fit. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Job. And Job is one of my favorite books in the Bible. There's so much application to be found in Job. But Job chapter 13, look with me, if you would, to verses 23 and 24. Job says, "How many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and holdest me for thine enemy?" Now turn back to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1 and verse 1, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil." That man was perfect and upright. God said that. God said that Job was upright before Him. And, you know, so even though that was the case, Job was still willing to consider, as we saw there in chapter 13 and verse 23, that Job was still willing to consider that there was something in his life, some sin that he wasn't necessarily aware of. But, you know, as we know that the Lord was the one that called Job upright. So for this message tonight, I'd like you to consider that if you're ever going through what we could call a spiritual drought, or it seems like, you know, the Lord's not very close to you, and as far as you know, there's no open, unconfessed sin in your life, I'd like you to consider that maybe the Lord has withdrawn himself a little bit to teach you something. And, you know, sometimes we have to accept that the Lord can deal with us however he sees fit. And, you know, so the question comes to my mind then, what was the Lord trying to teach Job? And, you know, these are the times that we should be a little bit careful, because I don't have anything specifically in Scripture to tell me this, but my feelings are that even though the Lord said that Job was upright before him, I believe that Job's issue that the Lord was trying to deal with him is, I kind of think Job's uprightness might have gone to his head a little bit in the regards of, Job was so concerned that his friends thought he had done something wrong. And that was Job's mistake. In my opinion, that's what I feel. That was Job's mistake. So, you know, could we kind of apply that to, like, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, the church of Ephesus. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to them, you know, they had all these things that he complimented them on. And then he said, but you have left your first love. And Satan will use anything that he can. He will even use service to him. He will make going to church a burden. And all of this can get between us and the Lord if we're not careful. And if we're not mindful of these things. And all right, so what should I do? What is the born again believer supposed to do if you find yourself in that position, like the psalmist did there in Psalm 18:14? Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from thee? Mm-hmm. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, and again, this is a psalm of David. Let's start in verse 23. David cries out, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." As has become my practice, I let my wife go over my notes and critique them for me, and she did that, but she read through these verses and she said, "I'm not sure if I have the courage to do that. Go before the Lord and say, 'Search me, O God, know my heart, and try me.'" If you're going through a spiritual, as we said, drought, and it feels like the Lord's not as close as he used to be, and there's probably something there that the Lord's trying to teach you, are you willing to, as the preacher says, humble down? And just, I hadn't really thought about that until Kristen said that to me, because you're opening yourself up to quite a bit. Because what did the Lord try Job with? And I think that was the point that, you know, Kristen was making to me, that, you know, when David cried out to the Lord here, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, try me." So as it were, coming to the Lord and opening ourselves up to him and say, "Lord, whatever you want. Whatever you want, I'm willing to accept, because I want that close relationship back with you, Lord." And, you know, that's one of the worst things about our present day culture. So many things have the label Christian slapped on it, and it's terrible. It's terrible. Go out into your car on the ride home. Well, don't. But you could go out into your car this evening and put on any number of Christian radio stations, and they're just gobbledygook, just mealy-mouthed garbage, nothing. Nothing of use. And they'll call it Christian all day long. And as I said, you know, earlier, how many genuinely born-again believers are there in this world that are so far away from the Lord and they don't even realize it because everything in their life has the label Christian on it? But I would ask you here this evening, how close is your walk with the Lord? How often do you have those times as Adam did, walking with the Lord in the cool of the day? And of course, you know, we can't at this time, because of the curse, we can't have that physically with the Lord, but I believe when we draw close to the Lord, we can have close to that spiritually. And that's what God wants. God wants to be close with you. He doesn't want a show. He doesn't want, as we mentioned earlier, the most spiritual version of ourselves that so many times we put on when we come to church. God wants the real you to be open and contrite before Him so that He can do what He needs to do to get you where He wants you to be. And, you know, so many times we have this picture in our heads of what we should be for God. And how many times that's not even close what God wants for us. So I would say that what you could do, if you're ever experiencing this when it seems like the Lord's not as close to you as He used to be like David. Honestly and fervently ask God to reveal any sin in your life. And if God shows you that there is, turn from it and allow the Lord to cleanse you of it. Second, let's look to the book of Luke, the gospel according to Luke, chapter 18. A very familiar portion of Scripture, and we all have them, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with it, but just when we read through the Gospels and we read of how the Lord taught and how He illustrated things. And I think it's so important because it gives us a glimpse into the heart of God and how, you know, so many times when He illustrated things, you're almost thinking it's curious that He phrases things or He uses the example that He uses. But and here in Luke chapter 18, let's start in verse 1. And He, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge that feared not God, neither regarded men. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. But he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? And just this contrast that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us of, you know, a wicked judge that isn't concerned about doing right and wrong, even he will eventually give in when you essentially bother him enough. But when you contrast that to the born-again believer, I think oftentimes when it seems like the Lord isn't really listening to us, he's not answering our prayer, at least not in the way that we think he should. The Lord here is urging us to have perseverance. And a lot of times I think the Lord is proving us. Do you want to be close to the Lord? So if the Lord were to withdraw himself a little bit from you, and then all of a sudden you're going to go cold, you're going to go through the motions, you're going to keep doing the Christian thing, but you're just going to drift away from the Lord. How many people has that happened to? And as we say, you know, keeping short accounts, and even though there comes a time in our life, and I think it's a natural part of Christian growth. I think the Lord does it to all of us. He ignores us for a time so that, in effect, he's proving us. He's proving to see how much we want to be close to him. If the Lord, as it were, moves a little bit from us, are we going to follow him? Or are we just going to be stuck where we're at? And I know that it's often been said that if it feels like you're far away from the Lord, it's not the Lord who has moved. And of course, you know, we say it, but what if that is the case? What if it is the Lord who has withdrawn himself from you, who has, you know, he's kind of taken away that close fellowship with you to see if you're going to, in effect, chase after him? Because I really believe that's what the Lord wants. You know, in Song of Solomon, we read of the woman chasing after Solomon when she couldn't find him. And I believe that that's a picture of that. That's a picture of us looking for our Lord, desiring that close relationship with us. And sometimes God simply bears long with us to teach us to trust him. Now, if you would turn with me to Jeremiah. And that I think that as the hour waxes late, as it were, and we see so many Christians falling away and so many fellow believers, you know, becoming cold, it's because the world around us, the culture around us, has infiltrated the church. Yes, that a lot of times Christians' skin isn't any thicker than the world. We get offended just as quick as anybody else. And that, you know, I think a lot of times when the Lord does that, when he withdraws himself a little bit from us, he's kind of saying, toughen up. Come on. How much do you want this? Are you going to fervently seek a close relationship with me? And, you know, maybe you've never felt that, but at times in my life, I feel that, you know, that's what the Lord is saying. The Lord is trying to see how much we desire that relationship with him. But here in Jeremiah, let's look to chapter 29 and familiar verses here. And just, you know, in closing, I'd kind of like to draw your thoughts here to this. Jeremiah 29, starting verse 11. And this is God speaking, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me. And when ye shall search for me with your whole heart." So I believe that the Lord is asking us that this evening. Are you searching for him with your whole heart? Are you desiring that deep, personal walk with him? And I was tempted to say, the only person that's going to suffer for it is yourself, but that's not necessarily true. If you're not walking with the Lord, your family's going to suffer for it. Your church is going to suffer for it. So just a word of encouragement in this modern day age of made to order Christianity, basically, you can serve God however you want. He'll accept it. It's fine. If you need to, and I dare say we all do, get on your face and ask your Father to show you if there's anything in your life that's in between you and Him. As David did, say, "Try me, Lord." Accepting all that that implies, whatever the Lord would have us go through, whatever the Lord would have us deal with, we will, if the end is a closer walk with Him. Let's pray.